I'm Matt Davenport. I'm gonna introduce your speaker. Take out my gum. Last time I spoke, I thought I did a really good job. My mom came to me, you have your gum in the whole time. But you did do a good job. You did follow up with that. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. I pray that whatever you have to say through me, Lord, I pray that you would help me communicate. And I do ask that you would just continue to be amongst us, that you would soften our hearts, and we'd be able to receive whatever you have. In the name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. Always nice when you ask a question and people answer. I usually write out everything. So sorry, I'm Matt Davenport. I'm going to be introducing my speaker. Did I already use that joke? I always say this every time, but if you're new here and you don't like what you hear, you'll have someone different next week. So please don't let that be the measurement tool. I am the son of Kevin and Dudley Davenport, sitting up here. The brother of David, who was just up here. What else? Aaron? Is Aaron still in here? One of four siblings, my wife Heather back there. We have five kids, and I'm wearing a sweatshirt this morning because we live in Tribuco Canyon and didn't look hard enough at what the weather was going to be today. But the holiday season is upon us. We live in such a fast-paced, retail-driven society that has become increasingly difficult to be thankful. The theme over the last month or so has been on God with you or with us. And today I want to talk about thankfulness, and I think that's a fruit of what happens when you're with Him. Everything I'm going to say today, and I was thinking about this getting ready for all this, is that all the things we pray for, that God asks us to do, is not necessarily all of a sudden happen. It's just that we all of a sudden acknowledge it. So it's like, oh my gosh, I just realized God is good. That's not like new information that God's good to you. It's just that you acknowledging that God's good, right? So when we're talking about, the scriptures are full of stuff that I think is just requiring us to acknowledge what's already going on rather than to like create this new thought. So anyway, increasingly difficult to be thankful. I believe the reason is around the fact that the spirit of thanksgiving is fleeting due to the ups and downs of the day. Not to mention all the remedies we have as short-term fixes. So feeling ungrateful or just kind of feeling low can be easily resolved with a pumpkin spice latte. And then once that wears off, you may even check your social media. And then that keeps you up. And then something negative happens, and what do? You get a green light. Normally in a place you don't get a green light, and you're back. And it's like the day, I think we live in a day and time where it's, you don't even get to spend much time in the lulls because it's such an easy fix. Now there's real like, you know, health and long-term things and that obviously are a lot deeper dips. But throughout the day, I think it's becoming harder to be grateful. I said we have vices. Oh, I forgot to mention Amazon. Amazon is like an easy fix, right? It's weird how just hitting the button makes you feel better. And then when it gets there, usually pulls you out of whatever you're in. So it's a two-for-one with Amazon. It's a genius business strategy. In 2 weeks, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. In my opinion, the undisputed best holiday of the year. Some real mixed emotions out there. Mike just undisputed. Mike's actually on Amazon shopping right now. Here's why I think it's undisputed. Many of us take that day to get with family or loved ones and ceremoniously give thanks by eating turkey and being together. And you sort of, all the other peripheral stuff that's awesome about Christmas, some of the reasons we celebrate Christmas is because I think it just gets removed, the pressures of gifts and all that kind of stuff. So I love Thanksgiving, and that's what I want to talk about. And I wrote down what I think is sort of a little bit of a path of where thankfulness leads. Does any people, a lot of you have kids in here. Actually, I think a lot of us have had kids. If you've been around kids, I think that covers everybody. Okay, so what's more annoying than an ungrateful child? Is there anything more annoying? Maybe going through airport security with kids. That's like a close second. But an ungrateful child, and I don't even mean like disrespectful, just like, eh. It's like, that was awesome. That, you know, and it drives me, since you guys can't relate, it drives me nuts. And Ford's back there laughing at me, right? It drives me nuts. And so, and it's the little things of, just the little things you do during the day that you do for your children or you see other people do for your children. And it, what is it about that drives parents crazy? Is because, at least for me, I'm so concerned with raising ungrateful kids. Because I think ungratefulness leads you to a certain path that is really difficult to break out of. So here's the path I think thankfulness leads to. I believe thankfulness leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to freedom. Freedom leads to joy, and then joy leads to generosity. So I'm going to talk about those, like kind of break those down. But thankfulness leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to freedom. Freedom leads to joy, and joy leads to generosity. The difference between being grateful and thankful, they're two very close words. Both are good. Grateful, it's an adjective. It's a feeling of showing an appreciation of kindness. I'm very grateful for all your help. It typically has to deal with like a person. I'm grateful for your help. Thankful is also an adjective. It means pleased and relieved. And this is coming off of Webster's, or they were thankful that the war was finally over, expressing gratitude and relief, an earnest and thankful prayer. So again, grateful, feeling or showing an appreciation of kindness, and thankful, being pleased and relieved. So it's like a subtle difference, but thankful is more of a, I would almost relate it, grateful being happy, thankful being joy, if you can kind of like put them in those categories. The definitions have a great deal of overlap, but the general difference is pretty simple. You are grateful for something a person does for you. When someone does something nice for you, you can be grateful. Being thankful also applies to this scenario, but can also be applied for being thankful in general, not just when a person is involved. So, talking about Thanksgiving, and I do want to give a little bit of a history lesson on Thanksgiving Day. A lot of drama around Thanksgiving Day. Do you all know that? It's a political hot potato back in the day. annual national holiday in the United States and Canada celebrating the harvest and other blessings of the past year. Americans generally believe that their Thanksgiving is modeled on a 1621 harvest feast shared by the English pilgrims and the native people. Plymouth's Thanksgiving began with a few colonists going out fowling, possibly for turkeys, but probably more for easier prey. This is the first Thanksgiving, so they weren't looking for turkeys. They were looking for geese and ducks, and since they, in one day, killed as much as served the company of the whole, like, so served the whole group for almost a week. Next, 90 or so native Wampanoag made a surprise appearance at the settlement's gate. Doubtlessly unnerving the 50 or so colonists, so you can imagine there's 50 or so, and then 90 natives approach, and they had just harvested more turkeys than they can eat, and they weren't hunting for them. The Wampanoag contributed venison to the feast, which included fowl, probably fish, eel, shellfish, vegetables. So that's kind of what we've celebrated and kind of memorialized. In the late 1700s, was this country being founded. The feeling was that having a national day of Thanksgiving was like a federal movement to make you do something. So it's funny how current this is, right? They said, we're going to have a national Thanksgiving Day. No, we want separation of church and state and what's really going on. So they let the states decide when Thanksgiving would be. President Abraham Lincoln made the day a national holiday on October 3rd, 1863, during the Civil War. Lincoln proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving to be celebrated on Thursday, November 26th. I think it was FDR. I didn't write this part down, but he actually moved Thanksgiving back to allow for an extra week of Christmas shopping. So, thank you, FDR, for that. If you feel dry this morning, if you feel anxious this morning, if you feel distant from the Lord this morning, you might start by being thankful. Turn to someone and say, I'm a spoiled brat. Did you say it? Okay. I'm a spoiled brat. I'm Matt Davenport, and I'm a spoiled brat. Not a lot of disagreement out there. If you're dry, if you're anxious, if you feel distant, chances are you're not thankful. Jesus taught us to be thankful. Psalm 107:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks for all in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. Psalm 69:30, I will praise God, name and song, and glorify him with thanksgiving. We are called to be a thankful people. So I want to do a little exercise. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. And I would like you to, this is not one-off. This is in as everybody at one time. It doesn't have to be, you're not making a statement to anybody else. I'm not going to repeat anything you all say. But I'd like for 60 seconds for you all to say what you're thankful for. And I'll give you an example. So this would be what I would be asking you to do. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the nice weather today. Thank you so much for my family. Thank you so much that I have a job. So it doesn't have to be in order of anything specific. There's nothing groundbreaking about what you're thankful for. If you run out of things to be thankful for, thank God for the seat you're sitting on. Thank him for the heartbeat in your chest. All right, so we're going to do this for 60 seconds. All right, so let's close our eyes. And just go ahead and speak them out. This isn't for anybody else, this is for you. Just go ahead and speak out the things that you're thankful for. Lord, thank you, Lord. My dad has said so many times that he has never met an unhappy, grateful person. Isn't it amazing what 60 seconds of just gratitude does for your whole day? I had a really bad attitude taking Madison to school, didn't I? She did. She's trying to find which day I'm talking about, because a lot of times I got a bad attitude. But I said, you know what? No. We're going to restart the day, and I'm going to say For the 25 minutes we have together, I'm going to thank the Lord for every good thing that's going on. And so we're driving. I said, and I was rebuking red lights. I mean, I was changing everything. And thank you for the green light. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. And by the time we got to school, I was thankful. I was really thankful. And it did. It just, everything changes when you're thankful. Thankfulness is just realizing what's already going on. It's not that new stuff is happening. You're not all of a sudden being blessed. You're just acknowledging what God's already doing for you and around you. It shows you how off we are when you just acknowledge it and take a step back and go, oh, thank you that we have air conditioning. Thank you that we need air conditioning. It's like 12 degrees in other parts of the country. Thank you for four walls. Thank you that we own this church. There was a long time we didn't own this church. This building, I should say. So never met an unhappy, grateful person. Why is that? I'm not an inspirational speaker. This is not about positive mental attitude. Being thankful means to take your eyes off yourself and to put it on Him. Put them on Him. Once your eyes are fixed, you see your life from a new perspective. You see your life as it could have been. And you probably see your life as it should have been. Being grateful requires you to acknowledge all that Jesus is doing, all that Jesus has done for you. All right, let's turn to Luke 7:36. Or flip there, or whatever on the screen. Luke 7:36. I believe this is a good start for being thankful. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. I've never read it off there. You know, I've always wanted to use a teleprompter, and I'm starting to realize maybe I'm not a teleprompter person. I'm going to try it, though. All right, so it was a city sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet and her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Does this seem like a grateful person? Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Does that sound like a thankful person? Sounds like an evaluator. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. It's just like us. Lord, just speak to us. I need direction. Give it to us. And then he tells you, a moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will he love more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my hair with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Go in peace. Do you believe you need Jesus? That's what I wrote down. I don't know where it changes. Here's my notes after my question. Do you believe you need Jesus because you are doing a great job managing your portfolio? And your marriage is pretty good. It's not bad. And your kids rarely get in trouble. Like, rarely. In fact, they're playing club sports. Like, everything's going pretty well. Do you need Jesus at this point? I'm thinking about that, you know, that story when they're in Jerusalem for the feast, you know, and Mary and Joseph leave Jesus behind for 3 days. And they're looking around for him, and he's at his father's house in the temple. And I believe they went there with good intentions, and they were good parents, but they left Jesus in Jerusalem. And they went there with him, but they left because the mission had been accomplished. And I think sometimes when we're on this path, we go somewhere in the right direction, and then when we get there, we forget we even need them. It's like I said, portfolio is going great. Everything is trending up. There may be a slight dip next year, but I'm making some changes that I think are going to have a big impact on where we're headed. And Junior was just offered a contract for one of the most exclusive clubs in Southern California. Now, granted, he'll get burnout. He's going to get burnout. He'll be totally fried by his freshman year of high school. But we're really proud of him. It gives me something to tell my associates at the country club about. Do you believe that you need Jesus? Are we Simon? Do we look at ourselves as people that have figured it out? Do you remember the point when you acknowledged that you really needed Jesus? Do you remember, you know, throughout your day, hopefully, right? You're reminded of how much you need Jesus. Usually it comes through crisis, and it comes through, like, down times and dark times. But I want you to ask yourself that question. I know the answer to that. I know we know the answer to that. We do need Jesus. Like the woman kissing Jesus' feet, thankfulness results in proximity to Jesus. When we say thank you to him, our eyes and ears are open to him. Thankfulness results in proximity to Jesus. If you're dry, if you're wondering where he's at, I haven't heard from him in a while. Maybe you're not thankful. And maybe it's not a conscious decision. I'm not going to be thankful today. It's not that. It's just, you just left him in Jerusalem. That's all. He's there. Like he's right with you. So Cooper did a great job of, you know, of seeing God through how he sees and through his perspective and the lenses. And the fact is, when we talked about this theme of being God being with us or us being with him, that doesn't require effort. Again, that is just acknowledging what's already happening. He is with you. Thankfulness results in proximity to Jesus. Oftentimes we talk, read, and even pray for answers. But let me tell you, you don't need answers, you need Jesus. We'll read tons of books, listen to tons of podcasts, attend seminars for answers to specific problems that you don't need the answer to. You need Jesus. He is the answer. He's the answer to everything. There's nothing that's not answered in who he is. And through this process, when we're not thankful, he's still there. It's just that we're not acknowledging how close he really is. So you start doing what you just did, 60 seconds, saying, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for, you know, dying on the cross. That may have been mentioned, it should have been. Thank you, and then you start going down the line, you just go, oh my gosh, I deserve nothing. It's hard to have a bad attitude when you're thankful. Our perspective should be centered around being thankful for what he did, for what he's doing, and for who he is. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the end from the beginning. All good things come from him. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And you got to understand, the reason why Peter's asking this is because some annoying brother or sister has irritated him, haranged him several times. This was not, Peter's a very practical person. So Peter didn't say, hypothetically speaking, Jesus, I want to make sure I have this. How many times should I forgive someone? Like trying to impress the crowd. That was not who Peter was. Peter was obviously very irritated by or offended by or hurt by one of his brothers and sisters, a fellow believer, a Christian. Is that amazing that a Christian could bother you? Who here finds Christians more annoying? No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. Sorry, Dad. Why did he ask that? I love that picture of him hanging out with all the brothers and the sisters and then somebody really bugging him. And then him pulling off and just asking Jesus this, hey, you know I'm a good guy, right? You know I get it. Like I forgive this people like a bunch of times, but how many? What's the limit? At what point am I justified in my anger like you were when you flipped the tables? Do you remember that? You did that. That was right. At what point do I get to not turn the other cheek and absolutely lay this guy out? Sorry, I'm paraphrasing. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Oh, sorry, 70 times 7. Up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Yeah, it's a lot. Try that. I remember as a kid doing the math on that and thinking, one, you have to be, I think it's 490. Someone has to wrong you 490 times. Has anybody in your life ever wronged you 490 times? Got some head nods out there? All right, listen, the way I read this, 491, you're good. You don't have to forgive them. You just don't have, you're done. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master had ordered that his wife and his children and all that had been sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. And the lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which is a lot less than he owed. And he seized him and began to choke him. Give me my money! This guy is desperate. I don't know what he needed the money for. Maybe a pumpkin spice latte. Having patience with me, I will repay you. That's what the, where am I? So his fellow slave fell to the ground after being choked and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. I think grieved is a Lutz translation for these are tattletales. And they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, the Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he was owed. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. If each of you, okay, this is Jesus talking to Peter. Pretty straightforward question. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. I don't need to interpret that. I think sometimes we tap dance around what he's saying there. You are required to forgive people because you have been forgiven a far greater debt. What we see here is religion. We are forgiven, yet we cannot forgive, and therefore choke out relationships because we're demanding that we get something in return. So Jesus says, I died for you, you get eternal life, I call you friends, I don't see anything, I don't see any blemish. Do you know that God never sees one thing wrong with you? He's never had a bad thought about you, ever. He's the great redeemer. That's how he sees you. And then we walk around. Somehow we move from that to choking out people that cut us off on the freeway. We are the guy. We are the person that is choking people out over a much, much smaller debt. This is not some theoretical picture. That's what religion will do. And by religion, I mean the steps, the man-made steps. I don't mean that. I'm talking about what we're doing is walking in relationship with Jesus. We are not walking up a mountain to pay penance to something. That's religion. So what does it require of you to be thankful? I think it requires you to pause. A gentleman named Brian Emmett said that Jesus moved at sheep speed. Sheep speed. So sheep speed walk like 3 miles an hour, maybe. Like how fast are you going? And I don't mean in your car, but how are you just getting through life? hey, what's going on? Making things happen. I don't have time for that. How you doing? Busy. I'm really busy, but great. Moving at sheep speed required, Jesus walked. He didn't have travel. So a lot of what he did was dealing with people as he's walking. To be thankful, you have to slow down and pause. You have to move at sheep speed. It requires humility. To be thankful requires humility. I deserve nothing. I deserve hell. Start there. That's a good place. Being humble. It requires understanding. Humility, understanding. And then finally, it requires words. Have you ever said to someone that you love, or again, you know, maybe a kid, are you grateful? Yeah, I'm grateful. It requires words to be thankful. Say something. Thank you, Lord. He knows all your thoughts and all that stuff, but say something. Thank you, Lord. Sounds so basic, because it is. It is basic. So required to be thankful. You have to pause. You have to move at sheep speed. Humility, understanding, and then words. Now, where does Thanksgiving lead? This is in Genesis 50. You don't have to go there, but when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left instructions, either his brothers that tried to kill him. Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. So his brothers are telling Joseph a lie. This is what you say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. It's a pretty good plan, because he could have had him killed. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When this message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I'm in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide you and your children, and I provide for you and your children. He reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Thankfulness led to forgiveness. Joseph was thankful because he was dealing with God for being saved, which led him to forgive his brothers. That forgiveness led to freedom. That freedom led to joy. I believe he was crying tears of joy. And ultimately, joy led to generosity. Joseph was very instrumental in saving the entire world because there was a massive famine. So forgiveness, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people that sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Where does joy lead? Joy leads to generosity. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need will abound in every good work. As it is written, you have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. The righteous endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through our generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So when you're generous, it results back in thanksgiving. When you're thankful, it leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to freedom. Freedom leads to joy. Joy leads to generosity. Generosity leads to thankfulness. Thankfulness leads to forgiveness, right? Because why? Because we have to forgive 7 times 70. It's not like you do this once. It's a process. Thankfulness forgiveness, freedom, joy, generosity, thankfulness, forgiveness, freedom, joy, generosity. This is walking in the kingdom. This is what it looks like to walk your life out with Jesus. And it's hard. It's difficult. But I believe the simple step of pausing, moving at sheep speed, being humble, understand what you deserve. You deserve nothing. Does everybody understand that? We deserve nothing. Why were we born in Orange County? Why are you in this church? Why does anything good happen to you? Understand that that is just the goodness of God pouring out on you. You did not do one thing to deserve your station in life. You worked hard, you do all these things, but God set you apart in this place and time. Be humble about it. Don't complain about it. God allows, He doesn't author bad things, He allows bad things. He allows these things to keep us humble. Understand where He's coming from and use words. Be thankful. Say you're thankful out loud. I'm telling you, there's a difference if Heather knows that I love her and me saying, I love you. Or if you've, again, back on the kids, if your kids get in an issue and a disagreement and you have them apologize, hopefully you do that or have done that. There's a difference between saying, I'm sorry, and saying, I'm sorry. The other kid goes, I forgive you. There's something different about that. Use your words. That's what we say as parents, right? Use your words. I don't know why we're so uptight with giving people compliments or being thankful or edifying others around us, but use your words. Huh? We don't want them to have a big head. That's true. And that's my fifth point is don't. So I'm just saying this morning, and I believe the Lord has got us on a path towards generosity. And to get there is just acknowledging all that God has done. And in that, you will become thankful. And in that, it should surface some opportunities for forgiveness. Because deep down, I was about to go into that. Never mind. Thankfulness will lead to forgiveness. Every one of us has someone to forgive. You'll have an opportunity to forgive somebody later today. It'll just happen. Carry those things loosely. Be thankful about where you're at. I'm done. Pat, you want to come up and... The undisputed greatest holiday. Thanksgiving is happening in a week and a half. This is something that we do as a family from my parents, and you may have heard it mentioned before, but this Thanksgiving, whether you're with your family or you're with strangers or if it's just you, use your words. Go around the table. If it's just you, you know, say it, but use your words about what you're thankful for and see where God sends you on that track of Thanksgiving. So, amen.